This is the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Drop some truth bombs, shall we? Let's go.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Look, we have strong opinions on this show. It's the nature of Giglio and I. But sometimes y'all aren't just paying attention, so we have to just hit you with the truth bomb. Let's go, Giglio.
Rob Manfred, Roberto, Manny the Moocher, Fast Freddy. Can we talk, my dude? What would you say you do here? I know it's not promoting the sport or being creative in marketing the league's stars. I know it's not negotiating efficiently with the players during a pandemic. I even know it's not having an ounce of foresight for trying to hold a season outside of a bubble like it's 2019. And now I definitely know it's not doling out punishments. Let me see if I get this straight, Manarooski. The Astros can cheat and steal a World Series from the Dodgers and get away with it. Not one player punished for systematically cheating over multiple seasons. But Joe Kelly gets 8 games? 8? For throwing a ball behind Alex Bregman? Now all of a sudden you're Stalin throwing infidels in the gulag? Manfred Steamroller, you're so bad at your job, the guys who made the final season of Game of Thrones think you're bad at your job. Fred-O-Rama. You're so bad at your job, Tom Dundon wants to hire you to negotiate the contracts with his play-by-play guys. Rob, you're so bad at your job, the copyright lawyer at Brazzers in charge of making sure no free clips make their way to the internet thinks you're bad at your job. Robert Debbie Downer Jr., Harvard Law called. They want their diploma back.
I don't know if I'll recover after the Brazzers reference.
What was the last Rob Manfred thing you called him?
Robert Debbie Downer Jr.
The one before that was the
Manfred Steamroller.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, clip that one. All right. Everybody sitting down? Yes, good. Everybody accounted for? Welcome to an OG Virtual Academy lesson on the sports grift. Before you open your browser and look at Clay Travis's timeline, I would advise everyone to put on protective gear. You might get some snake oil on you.
Truth ball.
In all seriousness, this actually isn't about Clay Travis. This lesson's not about him. It's actually about you. Yes, you, the idiot who buys what this fraud is selling. He's been wrong about everything related to the pandemic for months. And yet you, yes, you, I'm talking about you, still put that dude in my timeline. Oh, you don't believe me? He's been wrong? Here's your sports king, who never actually talks about sports, on June 13th.
Bye. Yet you have no fans present, while college football, the NFL, NASCAR, the PGA, all of the other sports that are going on are going to have fans present. By the time we get to the end of July, based on the trend lines for the coronavirus, it doesn't appear that there are going to be that many people with the virus in general.
Whoopsies! By the way, he's the same dope weeks ago blasting the Big Ten for going conference only. And then when the SEC goes conference only, suddenly, I love this. Great idea. But it's not about Clay Travis. It's not. It's about you. Because you keep listening to this dope. Speaking of things getting canceled, right? I'm shocked that Clay Travis hasn't been. And you ask, well, how? What? Cancel culture? No. He got owned by Darren Revelle on Twitter this week. Folks, you don't understand. When Darren Revelle, the internet's favorite punching bag, dunks on you, I mean, you gotta quit. Those are the rules.
True ball.
We will close our OG Virtual Academy on the sports grift with Charlie Kirk. Who is Charlie Kirk? I don't know. Jillio, do you know who Charlie Kirk is? He doesn't. But apparently this guy has 1.7 million followers with gems like these. This is from last night.
Hilarious to see black NBA players who make millions a year take a knee and try to tell us black people can't succeed in America. Kick them out of the league. Done watching the NBA. Yo, I don't even know where to start with this. The first one, kick them out of the league. Aren't you the same guy who rails against cancel culture? I looked at your tweets. And speaking of looking at your tweets, he said you were done with the NBA. Let's scroll. Oh, what's this? October 8th, 2019. Retweet if you will not watch another NBA game because of their embarrassing and embracing evil Chinese Communist Party.
Oh, okay. Let's scroll some more.
Oh, here we are. December 25th, 2015. 5 years ago. Here I am enjoying Christmas, and these NBA players are saying we need more gun control. It just needs to stop. Dude, I thought you were... How many times are you going to stop watching the NBA? Oh, what's this? June 18th, 2013? You tweet. If you want to know why I stopped watching the NBA, you saw it tonight. Rigged games, half efforts, receding hairlines, and busters. Dude, how many times can you say you quit?
Truth ball. I can't quit you.
But again, this isn't really about guys like Charlie Kirk or Clay Travis, who could be a bot for all I know. It's about you. Yes, you. Who probably thought Bernie Madoff had a sound business plan. It's a real shame that the NC State Fair was canceled this week because those carnies really could have made bank off of marks like you.
Truth ball.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, joining us now on the OG. Well, thinking of Caddyshack does remind me that Caddyshack 2 might be one of the worst sequels ever made.
Yeah, I never really got around to either one.
Yeah, you know me with sports movies. It's not a thing that I necessarily get into.
The problem is I look at everybody that's really into Caddyshack, and if you put them all in a room, I wouldn't want to be in that room.
I mean, you'd be in the room with Gold and me, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay, you too. Okay, if it could just be us.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Speaking of, you know, being isolated from everything else, we got the NBA and the return last night. I thought the broadcast looked good, and I felt alive because we have Zion Williamson minute restrictions conversations taking place. It felt good. Feels good.
Yeah, what was wild about it is the minute restriction was the best thing for the Pelicans because they had something like a minus 16 with him on the floor in that game, which I did not expect because he's had such a positive impact whenever he's been on the floor prior. But, yeah, no, I was surprised by the quality of the broadcast. Like, the fake crowd noise is working. Like, the way they've set up the background goes. Like, they have put together a pretty good television show, and that was imperative for them if they were going to do this, and I think they have.
Yeah, they've come a long way from ESPN broadcasting, you know, horse tournaments through iPhones and things like that. So I'm with you, having the Zoom fans in the background, whoever's job it is. Like, how do you apply for that job? I want to be the guy that makes sure that the crowd noise goes with whatever is going on. Like, LeBron James is locking up Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Like, what do you do at the end of the game? Do you pot it up?
It was the Lakers' home game, too, so you have to be cognizant of who you're supposed to be influencing for.
Like, is there some sort of algorithm that's at play? I'm wondering about that. The one thing they need to stop worrying about is you ain't going to be able to make no home court. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not going down. There's no need to worry about that bit at all.
No. Well, the algorithm, like, that makes sense for a video game. I mean, if we're playing NBA 2K, you know, it's all programmed in to know what's going on.
It looked like that for a little while last night, didn't it?
Yes, it did at certain times. Okay, so my curiosity, though, if you're the New Orleans Pelicans and you have to make the playoffs, I know things are a little wonky with how this all works, but I did find it interesting that they were so strict on the minutes restriction, on the minutes for Zion Williamson, because they could have used him offensively, especially with Brandon Ingram getting cold like he was.
Yeah, they could have. The thing with him offensively, though, we're still not at a point where they don't seem to run anything for him. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, he gets points, he gets buckets, he has an effect, but he doesn't seem it doesn't seem like they run stuff for him. Like, whenever I notice he and Ingram out there, Ingram's the dude that they're running stuff for. Ingram's the dude who's supposed to get the shot. But if Zion's got the ball within 8 feet, it's going to the rim one way or another.
And JJ got cold too. Although, I'm mad. I didn't know you were on JJ Redick's podcast last week when we talked to you.
I was.
How'd that go?
It went well. I mean, as I told JJ when I met him in person for the first time a few months ago, I kind of built a career off of his Duke time.
Did he appreciate that?
He did. He was like, "Oh, you're the one who wrote that."
Well, you actually I remember you actually defended the poetry segment that ESPN did when he was at Duke. He's like, "No, that's not poetry. Those are like rap lyrics."
Yeah, I got to double with him on that, because in the story that I'd written in 2006, I said the poetry was awful. And he went back and read it and was like, "Yeah, you were right about that." And I was like, "Yo, doubling back, those were lyrics, weren't they?" He was like, "Absolutely. That's what I did all day long."
Perfect. Perfect. And the thing is, JJ was one of those guys coming out of Duke that most people didn't think he was going to have a long career.
No.
Here he is, looking like one of the fittest dudes in the league.
You know, and it's interesting because what we should have known at the time was that he would have or could have a long career. What he wasn't was a guy that was going to like lead a team. And people convinced themselves that Adam Morrison could be a guy that could lead a team because he was the "I can get my own shot" guy. Mm-hmm. Except the problem was he had to do so much to get his own shot when he was at Gonzaga that should have portended that it wasn't going to work for him in the league. But as the three-pointer expanded and people realized that Redick was always more athletic than they thought, then next thing you know, 14 years later, not only is JJ still there, you're going to be in the league another 3-4 years.
Easily.
Monty Jones from ESPN joining us on the OG. And, Bo, were you as disappointed as we were that it appeared that LeBron found some Just for Men for his beard?
I don't know what he's doing in sum total on everything. I'd also love to know, was he able to get his barber in the bubble? Because I talked to somebody who was informed on this. The competition for barbers getting in the bubble was real. Mm-hmm. It was very, very real. And what they said was, if you could cut and braid, you were like a 3-and-D guy.
This feels like a 30 for 30 we're going to get in about 10 years. You know?
Yeah. Like, that's what I mean. That's what it had to be, because everybody wants their own barber. For LeBron, I imagine he ain't got but so many people he can trust.
Well, that's it. It was looking a little rough. I mean, look, I'm not one to talk. But
he cleaned it up. It looked good.
No, I'm not talking about
the
beard.
Yeah. Oh, the hair. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
I guess whatever he was using to fill it in wasn't allowed in the bubble.
Well, I mean, or like, I guess it could get in the bubble, but how long can it last? Does it have to be professionally applied?
Right. Too hot.
Man, right. Yeah. That Florida humidity, man. You know. But he was in Miami. You know, he has to have a guy. Yeah. He's got to have a guy in Miami.
Amin Al-Hassan says that basically he talked to somebody who kind of, you know, knows that wing of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that what it looked like was basically LeBron got that 1080p right before the 4K came out.
But Monty Jones from ESPN joining us on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. That's Joe Obvious. And Bo, for the NBA to kind of pull off what they did yesterday, I know it's only one day and it's two games, but it does kind of warm the heart a little bit that maybe we can solve some problems, especially given everything that's going on with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I was actually, right before we got on here, I was talking with somebody from the NBA about this. And what is clear is that the NBA has a plan. Mm-hmm. What is also clear is Major League Baseball, for example, does not. Because if two people test positive and they're not even players, and that means you shut down the whole series, you guys didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
Like, that was something that was foreseeable. And in your game tree, you did not map out that branch. You do not have a plan.
Or
they got a plan.
Any room for when a branch fell.
Right. Like, I had Taylor Rooks on the podcast yesterday, and she is in the bubble, and she had a false positive. And she just talked about everything that happened with her and what it was like in that day when she had that, you know, had that false positive. They are on it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, if, like, I would be stunned if anything really broke out. And, you know, maybe when the family show up later, they might have a problem. But in the time period on the way, I'll be stunned if anything happens, because I really think that they figured out how to map this whole thing out and get it right.
Plus, Disney has the technology to help with contact tracing. They got those magic bands, man. I mean, I know from experience, having gone with Kelly and the kids, they know what you're doing at the park at any given moment. And they use that same technology when you're checking into the building, so they can keep track of who's doing what and when, unless you're going to Magic City to get some wings, right. Which, I mean, who hasn't, right?
And by the way, that corporation, Disney, has quite the vested interest in this all working out.
Yes, it does. By the way, can you explain to people who don't quite understand the Magic City wing thing? Like, this happens. People go. They have a meal. This is not a, like...
Reading the articles in Playboy.
No,
yeah. Poe wrote for Playboy at some point.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, but you guys got to understand about strip clubs in Atlanta is that they are so normalized.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of going to a strip club, regardless of why you're going, is just not that big of a deal to people in the way that it is in other spots. Like, Atlanta decided many decades ago that one way that they were going to attract convention business was that they were going to have liberal strip club laws. Mm-hmm. And so there's strip clubs everywhere, all over the place. And so the idea of stopping by to get the wings, if I'm not mistaken, Magic City's on Uber Eats.
That's perfect.
That's what I'm saying. That's like, perfect. I really don't think that, I mean, I get where people are coming from. My thing was this, and this is where I think that people made too much of the story. If Lou's retelling of it is correct, and I think it is, it sounds like he was there at like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a real public safety risk. Now, I did talk to somebody who said he saw somebody put a picture up in Magic City that was about 11, and it was shoulder to shoulder, right?
Yeah.
But if you get to Magic City before they start charging the cover, nobody's there, right? You know, so to me, if he had been like at the strip club at 2 o'clock in the morning and it was banging in there, now we're talking about a problem. If you go in there for a couple of minutes and it's not that many people there and you got a mask on, come on, man, I'm not tripping.
Yeah, it's no different than going to a restaurant. And
yes, so it's actually at dinner
point.
Time, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. For most people. Yeah, for most at that point too. And Uber Eats. Although I don't think you get the full experience when you get the Uber Eats for the wings. Shannon Sharp called him Lemon Pepper Lou today, and I lost it.
I thought that was hilarious.
I lost it when I saw that clip. Bomani Jones, ESPN, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Ovius. That's Joe Giglio. Getting back to Major League Baseball, as they're sending the Marlins in a bus back to Miami from Philadelphia.
What is that?
Dude, that's an 18-hour trek while a hurricane is about to tear through.
I think it's longer.
Well, that's what the Google Maps says, with traffic and things like that, because, I'm sorry, once you get through, like, Fredericksburg.
How far is it from here to Miami?
From here to Miami is going to take you about 12 hours.
Okay.
On a good day.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
I've done that drive plenty of times.
It's 6.5 to Philly. Yeah.
I've done that drive plenty of times. On a good day, it's going to take you 12 to 13 hours, depending on how Jacksonville traffic is. Anyway, with Major League Baseball, my argument has been bubbles work, at least the way the NBA is making it happen. The NWSL made it work. MLS, after a herky-jerky start, got it to work. But once you introduce the element of travel, that's when all bets are off. So even if Major League Baseball had a plan, even though they clearly don't, but even if they had a plan, you were introducing travel to the equation. That's going to be a hard time to keep things in check, which gets to the NFL. Do you think that the NFL is watching what's going on with Major League Baseball and thinking, you know what, while we want to have a normal season, maybe there's still time to figure out a way to identify 4 to 5 different cities and completely redo the schedule?
No chance.
No chance?
Because that would be too much like right.
Oh. Yeah.
And the NFL hasn't given up on the idea of having people at these games.
Unless you're...
I saw the Packers announce, like, we're going to have 15 or 20,000 people.
Well, look at college football. College football's in the same boat where, I mean, Boo Corrigan and NC State sent out an email this week saying, well, we're still trying to figure things out. I know at Texas A&M, the AD was talking about how they're going to be at about 50% capacity to make sure that that accommodates all the season ticket holders. I mean, this is pie-in-the-sky stuff at this point in time.
The AD at State's name is Boo?
Yeah.
Got to say, we got a Boo and we got a Bubba. It's making it a lot harder to tell all them jokes about South Carolina, isn't it?
And the Bubba should be at State, obviously.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Nah, I mean, Boo. I think Boo is like, Bubba's a little more mainstream than Boo. You know, like that's, nah, they just can't. I don't think there's going to be a college football season. I do not. I just do not see how it is possible. I got a lot of questions about a lot of things that are going on here. A big part of it is this testing costs money, and I don't know where all this money is going to come from to do it. Yeah. There are some schools that can certainly afford to go about it. Not everybody can afford to go about it. Like the Ivy League was the first conference to be like, we're out. And then the SWAC and the MEAC were next. And I was glad to see the HBCUs be at the forefront, but I also know enough to know, man, they ain't got the money for all them tests.
No, they just don't. They don't. And you go conference to conference. If you go into the ACC, yeah, Clemson probably has the money to afford these types of things. But Florida State, you would think, would have the money because they're a football power, quote unquote.
But I hear they're broke.
They're broke. They are broke right now. And then Notre Dame, as an honorary member of the ACC this season, they could probably afford it too. But yeah, it's going to be a mess, and you don't have like $2 million lying around for these types of things at certain schools. But that'll be another conversation for another day. Bomani Jones, Right Time is the podcast. Check that out, ESPN. All right, man, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, man, be good.
Wes Durham out in the country.
What's happening?
What is up? And when Wes Durham joins us, you know what that means. Brought to you by our friends at J.E. Womble and Sons. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Real quick before we transition to the NFL, I did want to bounce this off of you, like we mentioned in the Hey Joe segment. When an NFL team travels, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a caravan, man.
And you're selling it under it's about 200.
It's about 200, okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, let me put it to you this way, and I can't speak for every team. The Falcons traditionally take the entire team, the practice squad, the coaches, the analyst, full medical, full PR, security to a degree, a couple guys for security.
Mm-hmm.
There's an advanced team of three people that fly back. And, oh, by the way, we got four seats for the radio.
Right. Right.
I'm going to add that I think you're going to find out that if what I'm hearing is correct, that number is going to be chopped considerably.
Makes sense.
In fact, I think you're probably I'd say it's probably closer to 175 than 200. But I would also tell you, too, that I think it's probably going to be down toward 100 by the time they play. In the regular season. Well, we don't have preseason, so the regular season. Even though I think the active roster is probably going to end up being probably towards 60 this year as opposed to 53. But that's another issue at another time.
That's Wes Durham, ACC Network. I'm Joe Ovias. That's Joe Giglio. It's the OG. All right, so let's transition to college football where it looks like it's been a busy week.
Mm-hmm.
The ACC on Wednesday, while we were not on the air, while the Carolina Hurricanes were playing an exhibition game. No West Day while we're doing it today. Go Canes.
Yeah.
The ACC comes out with their 10 conference games plus one. Notre Dame is in the league. That's followed by the SEC saying we're going conference only, which eliminates the whole in-state rivalry aspect of that plus one.
Right.
And then today, it looks like the Pac-12 is going to crystallize their format and be conference only. Now, the interesting part about the Pac-12 and the SEC is that they're going to start their season on September 26th, which I think is calculated because we just got done talking about the NFL. You know that college football is looking at what the adults are doing before they decide what they're going to do with the college athletes. So this puts the ACC in an interesting position now, Wes, where the Big Ten conference only, Pac-12 conference only,
SEC conference only. Hold on, Joe.
I know about the Big Ten.
Okay.
But we're going to operate as though the Big Ten is going forward.
Okay.
Would you talk to John Swofford today? Is there any indication that the ACC would change their model to get rid of the plus one?
Not from what he said.
Okay.
He said to us that he felt like that every school was comfortable with the plus one model. And I asked him specifically, I know that, you know, there were four schools that had those traditional games, but do you feel like that plus one is here? And he said yes, that he, in fact, felt like in the next few days that all 15 schools would be able to kind of announce their plus one.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. That is Joe Ovias. I was curious, Wes, and I wonder how much freedom you have to speak on this topic. Who do you think was pushing for those? Let me rephrase. I think there are five schools who wanted to play a plus one, the four who play the SEC games, and Notre Dame.
Okay.
How does a block of five win a vote in a league with 15?
Because I think you probably know the answer to this.
I do, because if Clemson and Notre Dame are on the same page,
well, but
and Florida State, quite frankly.
Yeah, but Joe, let's also go back to the schools that have contracts mm-hmm. that they may be playing a non-conference game this year that has no force majeure in it. Let's go back to a non-conference contract that might exist that it's a one-off game, or it's the back end of a home and home that, you know, if you go back to a normal 8-4 schedule, you really don't have room to push. You know, I can think of a couple schools that are probably playing some degree of a 2-for-1 or a straight up 1-for-1.
So it's a lesser of evils, is what you're saying. Yeah, like NC State with Liberty, you just, instead of kicking it down the line, you just take your medicine, play the game, and move it along.
And then they're going to be, you know, they're all sorts of. I mean, we love cannonballs in the speculation pool right now because we've been good at it for 5 months. But I would also say too, I think you've got to talk about schools that are willing. Are they going to pay the penalty to get out of the game and then schedule somebody else for one time because of the stipulation of in-state or home game? And that's the other aspect of this. I mean, you know, you guys could run wild on the value that Will Healy and Mike Houston and, you know, Appalachian State have right now. I mean, you know, think about it. Appalachian State could play Wake Forest. I don't know what the contract says. East Carolina could play Duke, Carolina, or NC State. I don't know what the contract – I don't know what East Carolina's wiggle room is. You know, in the state of Georgia, everybody says, well, Georgia Tech's not going to play Georgia. What are they going to do? They could play Georgia State. They could play Georgia Southern. I don't know what that league's going to do. See, the other leagues, the G5s, have all been waiting on the Power 5 to make their decision. And don't forget, the Big 12 is on the verge of either 8+2 or 10+1 or 9+1 or mm-hmm. whatever they're going to do, because you've already got Iowa State that's got a game scheduled with Ball State. You got Kansas and also Oklahoma that have already scheduled games against non-conference teams based on whatever they're going to do. So you know the Big 12 is going to some sort of +1, +2 model in addition to conference play.
West Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG.
I'm Joe. And I'm only speaking – I'm sorry, I didn't quite answer completely.
Yeah.
I think the room, Joe, you have to poll the schools. We don't know what people's contracts said for 2020 and what the financials would be. And that's kind of where I'm going to go with this. I'm hearing
now – that makes sense. Makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm also hearing now that what was reported as an athletic director's vote this morning from the SEC was in fact not an athletic director's vote. The 13-1 that's being reported was the president's vote.
Okay.
I'm hearing the athletic director's vote was a hell of a lot closer.
Gotcha.
Okay.
West Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Ovias. That's Joe Giglio. Now, let's get to the Notre Dame aspect of this. Shout out to...
Because when last we talked...
Yes. Previously on a West Day.
Previously on this show.
Although, I did message our guy, Roddy Jones...
Uh-huh.
And I said, I see you angling to join the Skull and Bones Club at Notre Dame. You're going to be in those meetings with Boo Corrigan at NC State, Kevin White at Duke, and Bubba Cunningham at North Carolina, and Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame. Because I caught it this morning on Packer and Durham. Mm-hmm. You know, he was sitting here saying, yeah, this is going to happen. And sure enough, it happened. So now that Notre Dame is in the conference... And we know that there's going to be a sharing of revenue with the NBC contract.
Yep.
I know it's just the one-off, but now we're in the football tree of trust. This season's going to happen. Notre Dame can see the value of what it means to stay in the college football playoff hunt by being in a conference this season. I mean, I think this is one of those, oh, so this is what it's like. This isn't too bad. Maybe we'll stick doing this. Like, how do you think this plays out?
Okay, are we going to say that the end game is Notre Dame joins the league?
Yes, end game is Notre Dame joining the league.
First of all, Notre Dame's going to make more money in football television revenue money, assuming we play
slate. We're in the football tree of trust now.
Okay, then Notre Dame's going to make more money this year in football television revenue than they ever have.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, if Notre Dame were to get in the league that plays an 8 or 9 game conference schedule, Notre Dame could still play these long traditional games that they so value, which
only two of them are traditional, by the way.
That is correct, and that's the whole point of this. Navy and Southern Cal are the only two, Joe.
Thank you.
You're exactly right. This whole – and again, I've told you guys about the 9-12 argument with my dad in the kitchen, right? You guys know that story.
Yes.
Well, that 9-12 argument in the kitchen is the same argument Notre Dame people of the 21st century are going to have with those that tell them how great Frank Leahy was, okay? Or how great George Gipp and Newt Rockne were and all those type things, or how valuable Rudy was. I mean, you know, the idea of Notre Dame in 2020 and Notre Dame in 1920 are two different Notre Dames now. In fact, Notre Dame of 1970 with Lindsey Nelson and Paul Hornung on the Sunday morning replay is a completely different Notre Dame now. And I know that they've got football tradition that they've forgotten that's better than others, schools that have a football program. But the timing might be absolutely perfect for them. Academic like-minded, the college football playoff system, a competitive league that, yes, they have a chance to win. And, oh, by the way, you get more money.
West. But Notre Dame doesn't care about money.
Back off, Joe. They do. Look.
Actually, Wes.
They got a board of trust of 200-plus people. That's the other thing, too. This decision, though, can't be made by any of us. Can't be made by anything I say, Mark says, Paul says.
Paul!
It's not going to be made by any of us. It's going to be made by them. All you can do is show them what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be pretty damn good for them, to be honest.
Now, I'm with you. The joke is it's the Catholic Church, right? As a good old Catholic boy, I know one thing that the Catholic Church really, really likes, and it comes out of my checking every month, a little offering, you know? I don't even have to go to the gift basket anymore. It just comes directly out of my checking account.
You guys understand what I'm saying. It's not crazy to think that they're going to get in this and go, damn.
Yeah, because they're going to get, for all those things, they're going to deliver the money in an offering basket, and they're going to have an opportunity to, and Jillian and I talked about this later in the week, if you're Notre Dame and you lose.
Their season was over October 26th last year.
Yes.
When they lost at Michigan 45-14.
Right.
They were 5-2, and their season was over.
So if you lose your Notre Dame, you're independent. That's it. It's a wrap, okay? You might get lucky because the things in front of you might fall into place, and the one loss doesn't hurt you too much. But then you lose twice. Then you're really screwed. You're really out of it. Unless, I don't know, you got two losses, but you still go to the ACC championship game, and who's your opponent? Clemson.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Right.
And then you go pull a Notre Dame. You know, you go get a Giant Slayers. That's it. And all of a sudden, bang, you're in there.
You're right back in it.
And I think that there's a lot of things that could happen here. And, oh, by the way, hey, Notre Dame, guess what we're also going to do? Let's go back to the old Adam and Joe reels with Wes. When Wes originally started, when I said, hey, Notre Dame, here's this. We'll take divisions down for you, increase the rotation, knock down the permanent crossovers in the league, and that allows you to play – you know, we'll play 9 games so you can schedule Southern Cal, the Naval Academy, and, oh, you can still have that Michigan deal, the Georgia deal, the whatever one-off you want to have.
They could play a rotation of a Big Ten opponent.
Correct. Yes, Northwestern, Wisconsin at Lambeau Field, whatever you want to do.
Go play Boston at Fenway. Go play Syracuse in New Jersey.
Exactly.
Go play
Shamrock Series,
whoever you want. You could still all do all these things that you want to do.
Now, as far as Notre Dame is concerned, if they don't join the league, I'm not going to be broken up about it. It was mutually beneficial for one season. Fine.
Absolutely.
Notre Dame and the ACC had their cohabitation. Didn't work out. They went back to an open relationship. It's no big deal. Now, the one thing... I'm just saying.
I gotcha.
The joke Brownlow and I had on the ACC panic room is like, you're back in college, it's fall break, everybody goes home except you two. Mm-hmm. Hey, why not?
Why not?
Right?
Yeah, hey. There you go, the old why not.
I mean, nobody's going to know. So my thing
that is.
It's
not good relationship advice, Joe. Obvious.
My thing is.
Rand, do not listen to that.
It's too late for Rand.
Yeah, way
too late for Rand. He walks around wearing a Bob Horner jersey.
So,
Dennis Horner, get it right.
The one thing I want. He doesn't know who Bob Horner is, I think.
No kidding.
I know who Bob Horner is.
He doesn't know who Rick Mailer is either, but he's a Braves fan.
No, he claims to be a Braves fan.
Is that Phil Negro?
My thing is, as it relates to this upcoming season,
okay.
I don't want to see divisions return after this.
I think that is got – now, this is the trust tree, right?
Yeah, we're in the trust tree.
I would say this. I think that's got a better chance than people realize. I think divisions, because of some other things too mechanically, in the structure of football in this league. I think divisions have been kind of out there on the border, and now the pandemic brought them to the center, and they've taken the walls down, if you will, and I think they're going to be really hard to rebuild.
Well, Florida really State do. Being crappy kind of helps with that too.
Well,
because the premise was they didn't want Florida State and Clemson playing twice in order to get a seat at the in the playoff table, which I completely understood.
Yeah, and I think the other aspect of this too is that your chances get better to have more than one in the playoff if you go to, because think about it, you get a one and a two in a championship game. Well, the incentive to be right behind them with one loss or be like
the
we're talking
done
about.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. And I think when you pin yourself to divisions, I think it's hard to gather that momentum. The other aspect about this that I think is going to happen, not only divisions, is I think the scheduling metrics are going to change in college football as a result of this too. And that's not a good thing for maybe FCS and G5 long-term either.
West Durham, ACC Network, Packer and Durham socially distanced. They had
going to be that way. We're socially distanced for a while, so Metropolitan Cartersville is, where it's at.
I'm getting used to plexiglass in the studio for once. All right, man, we will actually talk to you on a West Day next week.
Yeah!
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news. Jonathan Rand's the producer of this program. He likes to sing. Let's see what he has cooked up today.
No judgment.
Oh, Rand. Oh, my goodness.
The planning is always better.
Oh, no.
In somebody else's league.
Yes.
You dream about going down there, because now we are all intrigued. Manfred, look at which ones work now. It's not very hard to see, because you and old Roger know how tough both of your jobs will be. But down in Disney Bubble, there is no trouble. Don't you agree?
Wait for it.
Now they are playing every day, unless chicken wings call them away. All we are saying, they'll keep on playing down in Disney.
Very good.
And, you know, props to you for going full Sebastian on that one.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you gotta
I did
go.
Two versions, and
you
the
gotta,
other one wasn't as good.
You gotta do Sebastian. You gotta do Sebastian.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio Show Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. Or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.